Let's bring on a card table, you know.
That's right. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schelp.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi there. Welcome to episode 5 of Theater Geeks. This episode is entitled, How Much Rope Do You Give Your Actors?
Enough to hang themselves.
That's right.
But not enough to hang the production.
That's right. It's true. Okay, so I'm one of those. When I direct a show, I like to sort of upfront expectations that I tell my actors are that they are allowed to experiment and risk and play with, you know, their characters really up until dress rehearsal and maybe even a little bit after that. And I think that there's a healthy aspect to that. But then at the same time, I tell them that, you know, if I tell you stop doing that, they got to, you know, I am the director, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's a line to
you
be
don't
drawn.
Wear your hat.
But how do you control that? Do you ever, does it ever get out of control when you, if you let actors experiment and be risk takers?
Nein, I give my actors no room for experimentation.
I don't believe that.
So very regimented.
Oh, come on. No, I think you can do that up to a point. I think it totally depends on who you're working with. I mean, if you have an actor who has a lot of experience and feels comfortable experimenting with character and movement, and that's fine. If you have someone who it's either their first or they're really kind of new to performing, then I think it's the job of the director to give them some specific guidelines and say, if any of this feels really uncomfortable, it certainly is open to change, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think and as a director, I think it's really important, if you're going to allow your cast to experiment, to make sure that you have a good idea of where those characters need to begin with.
Exactly.
So that, as Dave was saying, that as they experiment, that you can say, no, or yeah, go for it. So because I think it's part of the play. I mean, I tell people, come out and play with us. Come out. This is an adult playground. It's not like going out and going on a swing set or going down the slide, but come out. This is where we have fun and we get a chance to just hang loose and be with friends. But so
it's kind of like church.
Yeah, it is in a way.
No, not.
And that goes all the way back to the Greeks. That's another story.
Okay.
But you know, so that being said,
I didn't realize I was so profound.
Go ahead. We didn't either, Dave.
So the experiment to feel like you're in a safe, comfortable place to experiment, that the director allows that. But that the director also knows that there's only so far you can experiment too before it has to be pulled back. You know?
Yeah, you have to have the actor and the director both have to have an idea that coincides with each other, ideas about what the character, what the purpose of the character is, what the character is meant to be in that particular play. Because mm-hmm. sometimes I'm sure there are actors who just think they are hysterical, and so they go for big laughs, and that kind of can throw the point of the thing off track, you know. And you're right, there has to be some point which you can pull them back and make them stay back.
Right.
You know, because I always have that feel of, well, they're going to do it in rehearsal and that's fine. But then if I tell them no, then when the curtain goes up and I'm in the back row, they can kind of do what they want, you know.
Right.
I've never run into that, but it's one of my biggest fears, especially with a show where a lot of improv is acceptable.
Well, most shows, you're following a script and you don't change the script, et cetera. But it's there's a certain level of skill level you kind of have to have a handle on. Okay, is this particular actor, and it's especially true in community theater, obviously, where you have amateurs and, you know, people who aren't pros, that can they really handle that much freedom? It's kind of like, how far can they go? Yeah. And
you have people that are really experienced and have done a lot of it, I think they instinctively know how far they can go, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's an attitudinal thing too.
Yeah,
some people think that, you know, whatever I do is going to be just fine because it's all about me, kind of, you know, I mean, they're going back to what we've talked about in the past.
Right.
You know, there are a few people that you know, are not aware that they're in an ensemble for some reason or another.
And again, and I still think it's also about it, does the director know? Because with an inexperienced actor who could easily get out of control if you allowed the experimentation to continue, if the director knows where it's going, where it needs to be, then the director will pull it back. But I've worked on shows now as the artistic director where the director has not necessarily had a good enough handle on it and has allowed a fairly fresh actor more leeway, and then they do exactly what we've been talking about, which is they don't understand that it's inappropriate to come back onto stage in a new costume that was never okayed during a performance, or that I didn't want to wear that wig for this scene, so I'm not going to wear it, or so. And that's, I think, because the director didn't necessarily have as much control as what probably needed to be over that particular show.
Yeah. I think as a director, it's your job, our job, to set out some parameters and then allow the actors to go up to them, you know, but you're right. The director has to be in control. I think in a show,
it's all about control.
It is. Well, I mean, in the long run, it is, because you know our name is on what's up there, and so I think really you have to let them know where the line is and say up to here is fine, and do whatever you want, and we'll see if we like it and if it fits. Do you still do? Because I haven't done this in a long time, but we used to do improvs before rehearsal.
And I like doing them. I remember doing them when I first started working with the theater, and it's like it was a great way of just kind of relaxing and playing and, and just kind of getting ready for the rehearsal. Now I will say that our youth theater at Elkhart Civic Theater has started to incorporate more
improv,
more games up front. Yes. And they're a great way to train. And and that was something else I was thinking, is that, you know, we really are a training ground, and and it's our job to help people understand how to develop character, how to create a character. And so with the new people, just teaching them how to create a character is that initial hurdle. But then once you've gotten these people that, as we've talked about, we've been grooming or bringing up through the ranks, and then they start to understand that there's another portion of that, which is the experimentation and the playing. But I think the games up front, as you were saying, Marcia, can really help to allow people to play and understand that it's all right to experiment a little bit.
Yeah, and try and figure out what your character is all about. And obviously that's different with every production. I mean, David has just directed one that where obviously he's put a lot more fun into the show than probably was written into it. And I just wonder how much was that you and how much was that the actors? Did I stump you, David?
No. Well, I'm trying to. No, I'm just trying to kind of get a feel for where. Yeah, I would say that most we didn't like. I think we were talking about this show a little bit earlier. We only had a couple of people that were really improvisers, you know, that really really pushed it a little bit. Actually, now that I think about it, there were probably three of them. There, you always have a mix. You have some actors who won't come up with stuff that's new, particularly on their own, or you just have someone who's just got kind of the full blown character, as our lead did. And she just really had it from the moment it started. And it just so happened that a lot of the humor that came out of it really wasn't so obvious until there was an audience in front of it, you know, out there. But I would say that, you know, a lot of what we did, we pointed the actors in the right direction. Some of the stuff, you know, we do some lighting effects that were technically part of the...
Pretty funny.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's nothing the actors come up with, but you sort of teach them how to work within that little lighting structure. And, but say, you know, this was an Agatha Christie murder mystery for those of you listening in Pakistan. By the way, we do have a listener in Pakistan.
Do we really?
Yes, we do.
I'm excited.
Anyway, so whoever you are, drop us a line.
Please.
Anyway, yeah. But the this is an Agatha Christie murder mystery, and as many of you may know, that these are very talky kinds of shows. But we had a butler in the as most murder mysteries do, it seems, And he, we sort of came up with a couple of ideas at the last moment, or I did, and then he sort of ran with them in some respects. So, which is the, where we had him listening at doors and windows and things like that, which he wasn't doing before. And we said, well, we want you there, there, and there. And, you know, you're supposed to be listening, come up with something. And he just did it. So sometimes you have to tell people, you know, you're going to be here, think of something. So that, that kind of was sort of the mix there with that one. And you do have, you know, so I don't know if I would say, I can't give you a percentage, how much was me and how much was them.
Do you think it's easier to let somebody improvise like that in a comedy or where you want to get some comedic effects rather than say, if you're doing a Tennessee Williams or Arthur Miller or a real heavy drama?
It's easier for me. I would say that. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, I don't know how much room for improvisation is there in outside the script parameters in Death of a Salesman, for example. Probably not a ton, but on the other hand, in the interpretation can be wide open.
I was going to say you still have to interpret a character,
right? And, yeah,
I mean, and that's what the rehearsal process is about anyway. Is every night's really supposed to be an experimentation? It's not just about telling a person where to go and stand,
right,
and how, and where to sit. I mean, there comes a point where all that, the mechanics of the event have taken place, and now you have to create the art of the event, and then that's the rehearsal process then.
Right. Well, don't you agree that that's excellent up to a certain point in the rehearsal process, and then what is there pretty much has to be set.
Yeah.
You can't just throw in a lot of new shtick in a comedy at the last minute.
Well, you can.
But you have to rehearse it.
You have to know it.
Yeah.
Or you have to have people that you know can go out there and do it. I can't think of an instance, but I'm sure I've come up with instances where, you know, a week into the run, I've come up and said, you know, Joe, why don't you try standing on your head in that scene, and they can do it. But, you know, you can't do, not every Joe can just do that. Right. I mean, there's a few people that,
well, and
that
then
can.
There's Joe's fellow actors who may fall over in a dead faint if he all of a sudden starts to, well, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, that's what,
no,
it's,
you gotta
all
let
that
people know something's up, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
I usually like to have my show set for the most part about a week before the final dress rehearsals.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh yeah, sure.
But at the same time, it's not that I don't allow for experimentation, but at that point, and I'm very upfront with my actors about it. If they wish to do something new, that and they just want to, a lot of times they'll come up to you and say, "Can I just try something?" And I'll go, "All right, you can try it, but if it involves anybody else on the stage, you need to get with them first,
right?
And then let me see it. And if I like it, we'll keep it. And if I don't like it, well, I bet you get a note. And you know, and so, but I will let people experiment. But about 2 weeks before a show opens, it's like, you know, we really have to get the flow going. Mm-hmm. At that point, of course, you know, the stopwatches start coming out to make sure that we know what our times are. And if you start throwing little things in here or there as a performer, that could really start throwing off not just the cast, but also the timing of the show that you've been creating through this rehearsal process.
Right.
Then, you know, those experimentations can get in the way.
Can't you wait a little longer on a show that's not so technically oriented, like, I'm thinking musicals. Yeah, about 2 weeks out, you better pretty well know everything that's going to be happening in there. But like on a non-musical where it's, you know, essentially actors interacting with actors.
Nine.
No, I don't think so.
David, you've been on the stage. You know what it's like to have somebody throw in something that you're not expecting and that you have to.
Oh.
But it's bad enough when, like, the phone rings or is supposed to ring and doesn't ring, and you have to start improving some stupid ideas about why the phone isn't supposed to ring, which has happened.
I'm just kind of joking, though, because I will admit that if with, for example, the current production of Agatha Christie's Spider's Web, if we had experimented up through the night before we opened, some of that stuff may not have been there. Or if we had not encouraged risking even more. For example, I encouraged one of the actors the night before we opened to risk just a little bit more on opening night. I said, I think you need to risk a little bit more in this scene. I don't think that it's coming quite to the point that it needs to be.
You talked to my actors.
I did, because I'm the artistic director. But
power man.
But no, it wasn't something that we hadn't discussed as a directing staff, you know, as the artistic director, director, assistant directors. We had all talked about these things, and I just walked up to that particular actor and I said, risk a little bit more. And he did, and it really helped.
You're right.
And I said the same thing to somebody about a comedic bit on the Tuesday night before we opened, saying, I think you could risk that just a little bit more. And they did, and on opening night, huge laughs.
Yeah.
And it wasn't – I think sometimes also for an actor, I think the director will ask an actor to risk, and the actor thinks they are, and the director has so many other things going that if they risk just a little bit – that the director has seen it, and that, you know, and as the artistic director, sometimes I can come in then and go, oh, you know what? I think they could risk a little bit more. And the director might say, well, I asked them to. And so if I say something, it reinforces what the director
says. He says something.
They click in.
Yeah. He says something that then they think that they're getting
it's
away
about
with something.
Gentlemen,
wait, isn't there a danger then if you say that the person did this and got a big laugh? Then there's the danger of them
risking
well,
more.
I got a really good laugh on that. How about if I really risked a lot more, and pretty soon it's way out of control.
Well, right. Or you're trying to, or they're almost telegraphing the whatever it is they're going to do, and it's a build up,
that's
and then
dangerous,
they're, then it becomes
that can throw off the whole rhythm of stuff.
Pretty soon it's vaudeville.
Well, I think that's
why I say if you do it up to a certain point,
right,
and then you say, okay, we've got it set now. If you want to try something else, maybe we can try it. But for the most part, I like what we have, and so let's just try and sharpen this up, you know.
Mm-hmm. I found that now that what was funny about this particular show, and maybe this we could analyze this a little bit, but one of the people who probably did the most of her own improvisation was the almost silent character of the constable in this show.
Right.
The woman that played that part, and she did an awful lot of it. Most of her improvisation was in the reacting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I didn't tell her to do very much of that at all. I think can you get away with more with, you know, little parts like that, mm-hmm, than you can with, say, a secondary or lead part?
I don't know. There's another character in this particular play that has some really funny shtick, physical shtick with, mm-hmm, you know, and, but it's just to the right point, I think, because too much makes him like a clown. And then you're not really ready for what's coming at the end. You can't accept what's coming at the
end. Well, there's some authenticity that has to be in.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, he's not. Yeah. And there's a character in the play who
don't want to give it all away,
who has a big appetite, grabs, you know, has some sandwiches over, and they figure into the plot ultimately. But the point is that it's funny because he just keeps eating, you know, but he's not making a big deal out of it. It's just that they're there, and at least, you know, but, you know, he's making a little bit of a deal out of it.
But if he made more, it wouldn't.
No,
it
right.
Wouldn't
it's
be funny.
It's it right where it's supposed to be. Yeah,
it
right.
Would just not be right.
Right.
And that's, is there a danger now? Because eventually the audience was certainly noticing whenever he went to get a sandwich, mm-hmm, and deciding which one to eat and whatever. And it got a laugh. And so there's a danger there that he could start doing more and more and more with that.
Right.
And that's why our directors watch almost every production.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't ever direct anything that I can't stand to see every night of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think you do have to watch with a critical eye as, mm-hmm, a director all the time.
Even through the performance run, to be honest. I know that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
It's not the way it works in professional theater, but in amateur theater,
well,
you know,
the stage
it can
manager
run
watches
you
in a professional,
oh,
theater,
sure.
And,
yeah.
And make sure that the show is running the way it's supposed to run.
And you know, last night we opened, and there were some technical things that we have to fix, so you have to watch for stuff like that. But you know, I love watching actors figure things out. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a director, you play that teacher role too, and giving them enough rope to, you know, even if they do hang themselves once in a while, it's still pretend hanging, and they get you can pull them back, you know, and it's it's part of the fun and the joy of actually working with especially with new people, mm-hmm. you know, but anybody, you know, that has some, we have a fairly inexperienced actor and he did do some, he worked on his character and did some improvising of things here and there and tried some things to the level that he's able to. And, you know, next time he'll probably be able to do more. He'll have a better sense of what's going on. So, I mean, that's part of that process, too.
And everybody learns from it. That's the important thing.
That's right. Well, I think that's all we have time for today for this episode of Theater Geeks. I do want to mention one thing. If you go to theatergeeks.com, we now have an online store where you can get all your important geek gear, including hats, cups, mugs, and I think that's kind of the limit of it right now.
But mugs are really good, especially for theater people.
That's right. And there's some t-shirts, t-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff like
caps.
That is baseball caps. There may be even more stuff along the way, but if you want to support Theater Geeks, that's one way to do it and look good at the same time. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shelp.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
That was a good one, I thought.
That was a long one.
That was about 20 minutes.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Theater Geeks. If you have a suggestion for a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, or just a question, or just a comment, use our feedback form at theatergeeks.com. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by musicalley.com.